Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. The U.S. labor market showed continued signs of resilience in January as the unemployment rate unexpectedly fell, wages grew more than expected, and December's monthly job gains were revised higher to show the U.S. labor market exited 2024 on even better footing than previously reported. That from Yahoo News. They report data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics released Friday show the unemployment rate fell to 4% in January. The unemployment rate now sits at its lowest level since May 2024. And President Trump signed an executive order imposing sanctions on the International Criminal Court over investigations of Israel. That from the Associated Press, they report neither the U.S. nor Israel is a member of or recognizes the court, which has issued an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for alleged war crimes over his military response in Gaza after the Hamas attack against Israel in October 2023. Next, the South Dakota House Committee takes up a controversial bill today that would require school districts in the state to display the Ten Commandments in each classroom.
The bill, which narrowly cleared the Senate last week, also contains provisions that would require the Ten Commandments be taught in civics classes. Opponents say the mandate crosses the line when it comes to separation of church and state. In the recent debate, Republican Senator Stephanie Sauter of Bryant, a former teacher, said her biggest issue was the loss of local control.
This bill, which will remove the school's freedom of choice to decide what's best for the students and the district.
Backers of the bill say it's an important part of learning U.S. history. But opponents like Sauter say current teaching already makes mention of the commandments when covering various religions. I'm Mike Moen.
And Virginia ranks third among the worst states for the average amount of back wages companies owe their workers. The report from the Goat Academy finds since 2021, nearly 4,800 wage theft violations have occurred. Attorney Paul Falabella is with the Virginia Employment Lawyers Association.
Virginia had no state law on wage theft and didn't have the ability for workers to sue directly. And so workers had to go to either the federal or the state Department of Labor.
He says that changed in 2020 when the Virginia Wage Payment Act went into effect. And finally, an endangered bat species has been detected in southwestern Arizona.
Kristen Lear with Bat Conservation International says knowing that this endangered species has been found in Arizona opens up new avenues for research and conservation.
Some of the work for the conservation of the species for the Mexican long-nosed bat are really two things. One is roost protection, finding the caves, the mines, or wherever this bat is roosting along their migratory route and protecting those roosts. And then the second aspect is maintaining healthy foraging habitats.
Lear says the discovery of the tiny bat was made possible as project participants collected what's called environmental DNA. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
This is Public News Service. The negative impacts on air quality from industrialized animal facilities in North Carolina stick around for a long time. That's according to a new study.
The research also shows that the effects are felt most by communities of color. Lead author of the study, Sally Pusetti at the University of Virginia, says her team used satellite measurements of ammonia pollution associated with industrialized swine operations in eastern North Carolina.
Those ammonia air quality impacts are disproportionately experienced by residents in eastern North Carolina who are Black and African American, Hispanic and Latino, and indigenous.
Compared to white communities, the study found ammonia concentrations were 27% higher for Black communities, 35% higher for Hispanic communities, and 49% higher for indigenous communities between 2016 and 2021. Pusetti notes that satellite data from 2008 to 2023 shows these trends have largely remained unchanged. I'm Eric Tegedoff reporting.
Next to Georgia, where one in five folks experience a mental illness each year, and while the state has made strides in expanding crisis support, a new report suggests there is still work to do.
The mental health advocacy group Inseparable says despite Georgia's investment in the 988 crisis hotline, gaps remain in ensuring people receive care instead of landing in jails or emergency rooms. Caitlin Hochul, vice president of public policy at Inseparable, says one area that needs improvement is how calls are handled in state.
More investment is needed to help boost those in-state answer rates. As you can see in our report, Georgia's in-state answer rate is currently around 82%, whereas the national goal is 90% or higher.
She explains having in-state professionals answer crisis calls is crucial. They understand the local resources, providers, and geography, making it easier to connect people with the right care and, if needed, dispatch mobile crisis teams more effectively. Shantia Hudson reporting.
Finally, as we've been reporting, Americans working multiple jobs to cover living expenses has become increasingly common.
and Ohioans are no exception.
According to U.S. Census data, a significant portion of Midwestern workers hold secondary jobs. A study by My Perfect Resume found 71% of U.S. workers rely on additional income to make ends meet. Career expert Jasmine Escalera notes that while this extra work is necessary for many, it can negatively impact job performance.
49% of people surveyed said that their secondary source of income is actually impacting their performance at their primary job.
She notes the lack of productivity brought on by stress and fatigue from a primary job means you're likely not putting in the extra investment needed to get higher pay, better titles, or job promotions. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.